Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we discuss romances and relationships in our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to Rochester and Blanche. What a horribly abusive relationship in Alice's opinion, in my opinion. I think this is just the worst of really bad relationship, because no matter how unlikable Blanche is, and she is unlikable for all the reasons a wealthy woman of society in British society at the time would be unlikable, she is, but Rochester just simply flat out uses her 1,000% through the whole thing. And he's mean to her while he does it. He lies to her, he leads her on, he manipulates her. And yet, somehow, overall, we're kind of supposed to think his behavior toward Blanche is acceptable because it is all done in the name of his great love for Jane. You know, it's all a ruse to get Jane to, you know, in the position he wants Jane in. And I'm just like, really? Ugh, you know. So strike whatever. I don't know what strike I'm on with Rochester, but strike. There's another one. I'm like, ew.
I don't feel sorry for Blanche.
I don't feel sorry for her. She's horrible, you know.
I feel that he uses her and she uses him.
Oh, yeah.
And what she wants, I think, is understandable. She wants good marriage and some money. It's understandable for the time period.
She's literally willing to marry him, and I use that phrase because I don't think she's madly in love with him. She doesn't think he's that good looking. She's willing to marry him because he's fabulously wealthy.
Yep.
Period. End of. You know, that's kind of right. Despicable. You know, but she doesn't really hide it. You know, I mean,
we know that what is most important to Blanche is the money, because mm-hmm. Rochester lets drop a rumor that his fortune is about a third of what Blanche and her mother thought it was, and immediately they go cold on him.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder how much Rochester is actively encouraging her interest in him, and how much he just kind of lets the gossip mill do its thing. And what I did is I went through with a Google search, and I looked up every mention of Blanche or Ingram in the book, The Advantages of the Powers of the Computer.
Yeah.
I could not find on the page any instances where Rochester lied to her.
Verbally.
I think for the time period, yes, be careful with your behaviors between men and women for what was implied.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not find any words, any understanding. The only instance of the word flirt in the whole book are two completely other characters. And it's in a scene where Rochester's absent. Situations that could be seen as flirting, there's a piano playing scene where they're kind of bantering with each other. And then there's a scene where they have their heads together and Jane's looking on jealously, but Rochester and Blanche are, you know, playing charades. And so they're trying to, you know, communicate secretly about that. So I do believe that there is lying going on,
mm-hmm.
but the lying that we should be mad about is the fact that he's lying to Jane about the relationship.
Sure. Yeah. I agree with that. I think when I say he lies to her, you know, I'm one of these people that sees not saying things can be lies at times. If you lie with silence, sometimes that's still a lie. And I feel like he knows exactly what she's doing, that she sees him as a potential marriage conquest for his money. He gets it. He's under no illusions. And he never tells her the truth. He never says to her, I'm never going to marry you. You know, set your sights. He continues to lead her on with his silence. That to me is, as in that historical context setting of the way men and women dealt with each other in that time period, that's as good as a lie, because he's wasting her time when she could be, you know, throwing her cap, flirting with somebody else, she's spending all this time investing her time and her energy with her mother in tow on, you know, this potential marriage to Rochester that's never going to happen. But you're right. The most that he verbally lies is to Jane about Blanche.
I will confess, and maybe this makes me a naughty person, but I was more entertained by the scenes with Blanche.
Well, you know, in some ways they might be there for comic relief, but I think I kind of interrupted you. You were going to talk about some of the stuff that he actually says to Jane about Blanche, and I think that's important because you're right. He is lying to Jane.
Oh, sure. Just that he does tell Jane in private, you know, away from anybody else, both as himself and when he's disguised as the gypsy woman, that he does plan to marry Blanche. And this in combination with Jane's own insecurities, or when Rochester will say something about wanting to be a bridegroom, when he's talking about Jane, but knows that she could misinterpret that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the preparations that are being made with, like, bringing in a new carriage. Oh, maybe that's for the intended wedding, thinks Mrs. Fairfax. Well, it is. It's for an intended wedding with Jane, but nobody knows that but Rochester.
Including Mrs. Fairfax. I mean, she thinks he's going to marry Blanche. He's leading them all down the garden path, you know? Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah, you're right.
The are not the best.
Yeah, and the only thing he really kind of directly lies to her about Blanche, I mean, is the size of his fortune when he starts those kind of rumors that it's a third of what she thinks it is. And what is the point of that? He's testing her as a marriage potential partner that he never intends to marry. To what is the test? I mean, that makes no sense to me that he does that. Because
I don't think he's testing her. I think that he's trying to get her to go away.
Really? You don't think he could find a more direct way to do that? I mean, that just seems crazy.
It does allow her to preserve her dignity after he sort of toyed with her dignity up to this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of toying on his part. And I think part of that, all the stuff with the gypsy woman, with the lying to Jane and flat out telling Jane that he's going to marry Blanche and Mrs. Fairfax believing that, and the carriage and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he lies a lot, and he's playing a lot of games there with all of them. And even when he starts that rumor about the value of his estate, I reread that part several times trying to figure out, is he trying to test Jane in some way by showing how Blanche is going to react? And I'm like, but that didn't really follow through in the actual writing in the story. That was like something I was thinking, is there something there like that? But there really wasn't. It wasn't. It was a further manipulation. It was a part of the game he was playing with Jane. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really make any sense in that game. It just is this very odd... and never once does he say to anyone, I started that rumor to try to get Blanche to go away. He never says that. So we don't know that that's why he did it.
We don't know. You're right.
I mean, it's this very strange... game playing for meanness, just to be mean. It's very weird. It's odd. It's very odd. I struggle with that one. Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Round Table with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.